If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Thank you for listening today. YouDocs at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. It's What's Toxic and What's Not With Dr. Gary Ginsberg every week at this time. Dr. Mike, point us in the right direction. Which way do you want to go have Dr. G go today?
Well, let's talk about pop and sticky blood vessels. You know, Gary, I send out a list of the top medical news of the week, and I often put the reference site to it. This one had the wrong reference site to it. So you've got to tell us what the data is on pops and sticky blood vessels. It actually had the one on the prior one, that is breast milk increases autism risk with the dioxin reference to it. So I apologize. Yeah, yeah. Anyone who wants to subscribe, by the way, to the News of the Week, you can send out an email to me at udocs at gmail.com, and you get the full, whatever it is, 68 pages this week of the top medical news of the week and the information behind it.
All right. Well, I'm not making
Gary?
This story up. Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Okay. Well, I'm not making this story up. It actually comes from the journal Environmental Health Perspectives, which is a very highly regarded journal, a study out of Sweden, which looked at the relationship between levels of POPs, which are persistent, it has nothing to do with Father's Day, it's persistent organic pollutants. And these are things like dioxins and PCBs and old pesticides that were banned. Most of these things were banned or have really been phased down, but are still so prevalent in the environment because they just don't break down. And we have them in our blood because we're high on the food chain. We're top predators, so we eat fish that may contain them or meat and dairy that may contain them. Anything high fat, any high full fat content foods will tend to have higher levels because these POPs love fat. They partition and seek their fat-seeking chemicals. Anyway, so this particular study, and by the way, these chemicals build up in your body, so the older you are, the more you will tend to have. Babies don't have a lot, but as you grow and age, you tend to accumulate it in your body, which is significant for this study because what we're concerned about is vascular health. And whether high-fat diets contribute to vascular disease or not, there has been lots of correlations along those lines. Here is one piece of evidence that suggests that it's the contaminants in the fat that may be contributing. So our blood vessels can be sticky or they can be smooth. It depends upon the activity of certain cell receptors called, in this case, called ICAM. And they, the more that these CAM molecules are expressed on our blood vessels, the more the blood vessels allow in white blood cells, inflammatory cells, that could lead to a lot of inflammation and reaction. So these CAM receptors tend to get active when there is damage to blood vessel walls, when there is invaders and pathogens, and some of that necessary. But you don't want these genes, these proteins turned on inappropriately and to an extra degree, because that will lead to more inflammation in your blood vessels. Blood vessels, if they become inflamed, you get a fatty streak, you can get the deposition of fat and lipid, and that leads to hardening of the arteries. So the fact that one particular PCB in the study, PCB 126, was highly significantly correlated with the expression of ICAM-1 in endothelial cells. In other words, the more of this PCB, which probably comes from eating fish and eating high-fat foods, eating certain fish, that is, the more of that in the Swedish people's blood, the more they had sticky blood vessels, which would lead them to higher clotting possibilities as well as higher cardiovascular inflammation possibilities. And these days, I don't know if you've been, you probably talk about it all the time, we're trying to hold down our level of inflammation. A lot of diseases of aging are inflammatory diseases, and we certainly don't need toxic chemicals contributing to our levels of inflammatory disease. So this is just one more reason to eat moderately to lower on the food chain and cut down on your degree of saturated fat.
All right, Dr. Gary Ginsberg's here for what's toxic and what's not. Gary, what's going to get better in shampoos and lipsticks?
Yeah, coca DEA. It's a ingredient right now in a lot of personal care products that especially where you need foaming, like in shaving cream and in shampoo and soaps. Dishwashing detergent tends to have it. And a study was done in 2001. It slipped past me. I didn't know about it. But the International Agency for Research on Cancer picked up on the study and found that this chemical, this common ingredient in shampoos, is a carcinogen. And it doesn't look like a carcinogen, but the ethanolamine part of it, one part of it, is probably the reason for the carcinogenic activity. Interestingly, in the mice that were dosed with it, they were dosed on their skin, and the chemical penetrated the skin and caused liver and kidney cancer. Oof. And that was the alarming thing. It wasn't just, you know, on the skin causing a little skin cancer, but it was internal penetration and cancer. So that has raised some alarms, and there's been pressure now being brought to bear on makers of personal care products to get this out. And 26 makers have just agreed, groups, companies like Procter & Gamble have just agreed to formulate around coca DEA. But in the meantime, it is something you could look for on your bottle of shampoo. I know some of the goody-goody companies have gotten rid of it years ago because it's a petroleum, I believe it's a petroleum-based hydrocarbon that's in shampoo for a frothing foaming agent, and you could go greener with the sourcing of it. So anyway, you can look for that on the label. It's called coca DEA or cocamide diethanolamine.
I'm going to look for it tonight when I go back to the shower and see if it's on my bottle of shampoo. How about Violet?
Joe, I would say look for it before you get the shampoo in your eyes.
Okay, good idea. So this weather, what kind of effect is this final weather doing with some of our toxics?
Joplin, this is a story about Joplin, Missouri primarily, but it could be anywhere in this country or anywhere in the world. As the weather gets stormier, and we have tornadoes touching down in places like Joplin, Missouri, the toxic chemicals, the legacy of past industrial practices that have led to Superfund sites. In this case, it was a lead smelter. A lead smelter is where they are purifying lead from ore, and then they're using it to make things like batteries. Facilities were never all that neat and tidy, and they used to belch out a lot of lead. That lead got into soil, and in Joplin, Missouri, for example, it was cleaned up, but not all of it was taken off. Some of it was left in waste piles. Some of it was just in topsoil. And then a tornado comes along. And guess what, Dorothy? When you're flying over to Oz from Kansas or from Joplin, you're bringing with you a bunch of lead contamination. But the lead contamination blew all over town, parts of town that were never contaminated. So now you got a big cleanup to deal with. I know that Superstorm Sandy released some sediment contamination from the Gowanus Canal in New York City, leading to spreading of that Superfund contamination. So, contamination doesn't necessarily stay put, and storms can have a toxic aftermath.
All right. Get to Gary Ginsberg's website soon. It's great stuff. What'stoxics.com. And listen for Dr. G's segment every week at this time in this hour on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Coming up after the break, Dr. Mike is going to tell you how to live to be 110. If you'd like to live to be 110, what that's about. And also some of the other top medical news stories of the week. Ever thought about going back to some of the... Have you ever thought about eating an acorn? Have you ever eaten an acorn? What could possibly be good about eating an acorn? And more. Maybe a real age tip of the week, too, before the end of the hour. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.